join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith to Stand by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
And now, Jesus, he has the attention. He starts requiring a little bit more. Can I tell you, the more you go on with God, the more he requires of you? A lot of people don't understand that. The longer you stay, the more he requires of you. As you get closer to him, God's going to require more of you. There's something that I heard somebody preach many years ago in the early 80s. I'll never forget it. Pastor by the name of Clinton Utterbach. Redeeming Love Christian Center in Nanuet, New York. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. They had a great church there in the area. One of the first word-based churches in that area. But I'll never forget this message. I had the tape of it called The Success of the Spiritually Immature. The Success of the Spiritually Immature. And he was talking about how when you first get saved, look like, man, things just start happening. Prayers are answered. Doors is opening. And you're like, wow, isn't God good? Won't he do it? Isn't he all right? Will he won't? Won't he will? I tell you, God is good all the time. And all the time, God's good. Because God just, he's just getting to know him. He wants you to fall in love with him. And then, you know, look like he's just carrying you. Don't have to do it. He's just carrying you. Because that's what you do with babies. You carry babies. Come on. It's easy for babies to get placed because everybody just take them everywhere. But as that child start growing up, you said, no, I can't. Come on, you can walk. Walk. Then sometimes want to fall and have a tantrum. Okay? Then the child, then it looks like it's getting a little, and then the child starts walking. You help him walk. And then now the child thinks, now he's trying to play games with me. Because the child starts walking and they walk to you. Now you got to do it to back up from him. You're not backing up because you don't love the child. You're backing up because you want his legs to get strengthened. And some of y'all in place right now, God used to be carrying you. But now he's standing you up saying, come on, you can walk. Well, God, where are you? Come on, I'm right here. Come on now. It's all right. Watch it. And then you fall down. What you do? You pick back up. Come on. And then look like getting a little closer. You keep backing up. Keep backing. It's not because he don't love you. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to give you hind feet. So you can run through a troop. So you can leap over a mountain. So you can walk and not be weary and run and not faint. Oh, God still loves you. He's just calling you closer and telling you, listen, I need you to know that I'm with you even if I'm not carrying you. If I'm not carrying you, because I know you can make it through it. If you will walk on through it. Every time you go through a trial, you can't tell me God don't love you. No. He's strengthening me. Glory to God. He's giving me hind feet. So Jesus calls him, and he's calling him a little closer. And then John 8, so then he says this. He says to the Jews that believed on him. So that means there were Jews who didn't believe on him. He says to the ones that believed on him, John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you got to do what? Oh, not just get the word, got to continue in the word. You'd be surprised how many people come sit under the word who don't continue in the word. Oh, continuing, it also means I got to keep on doing it. I got to keep on retaining it. I got to keep on reciting it. I got to keep on confessing it. I got to continue in the word, even if it looked like the word isn't working. I got to continue. He said, if, now this is a conditional promise. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. My real disciples are not merely people who come down to the altar. Oh, now let me break this down. The truth of the matter is you can be born again and not a disciple. When we think of the word disciple, there's another word that comes from disciple, discipline. Disciples are disciplined ones. Okay? I grew up in the 60s and the 70s in the inner cities of the New York area. And the Nation of Islam Muslims were very prevalent at the time. And they would stand on the corners, you know, with the Muhammad Speaks paper and the bean pies. Bean pie, my brother. Bean pie, my brother. Okay. And then one of the most famous ministers and national spokesman for the Nation of Islam was who? Malcolm X. And if you ever listen to Malcolm X teaching, he would always say this: the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. Without any doubt, he was disciplined according to the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's how Christians should be. Jesus teaches me. The Word of God teaches me. The Scriptures teach me. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. The Scriptures say. Jesus was always saying this: the Father has taught me. The Father. I speak not my own words. The Father. What the Father teaches me, he was disciplined according to his Father's teaching. A Christian is disciplined according to the teachings of the Word. And so he said, you got to continue. He said, the proof that you're really my disciples is that you become disciplined to keep walking in the Word. So when you're disciplined, you don't have a salvation you can put down while you cuss somebody out. I'm hope just stay right here. I'll be right back. When I was a kid, the older people used to talk about laying your legion down. You don't have no legion you can lay down if you are a disciplined disciple. So he said, if you continue my word, that's the proof that you're really my disciples. Not that you came to the altar. Not that you even come to church on Sunday. But that you continue in the word every day. If you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. And as a result of continuing the word, now, and this is a progressive, and you shall know the truth. Oh, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free from what? From anything that had you bound prior to being a disciple. Why you say 10 years and you still smoke? Y'all, come on, don't. I ain't trying to say you're going to hell for smoking. You don't go to hell for smoking. You just smell like you've been there already. My point is this. The more as you go on in the word and you live this word, it starts making you free. And now I used to think, because I came up in a traditional Pentecostal type background, and everybody got up and testified, you say stuff like, I tell you, I've been saved since I feel the Lord. And ever since that day, he put clapping in my hand and running in my feet. Glory to God, my Jesus, he can't be beat. Go Jesus. And I should think like everybody got delivered instantly. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. Then y'all, I got older, I found that some of them were still going to those places. Some of them were still doing those same things. So it may not be instantaneous. They just say stuff like this: I looked at my hands and my hand looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. How many of y'all got saved and you had calluses on your hand, and after you came from the altar, you still had calluses, and you had corns and bunions and ingrown toenails, and you got home after you got filled with the Holy Ghost, and you still had, and maybe a little more crud that day too. No, those are expressions. But you get free the more you walk in the Word. Come on now. You get free from cussing by binding the spirit of cussing. You don't get free from cussing by continuing to cuss. You get free from cussing by saying, you know what? I ain't going to cuss today. Glory to God. I ain't going to cuss today. Hallelujah. Right, Lord, help me make it to 12 o'clock. Then you get to 12. Hey, glory to God. Lord, I've been up since 6. And I ain't got, listen to this. Look at this. Lord, help me make it to 3. Now, I'm joking about that. But my point is, you got to get involved in your deliverance. You got to start applying the Word in your life. And you got to stand on the Word. So if you continue, he said, continue my Word. You shall know the true truth to make you free. Now, look at going to. Let me emphasize this. He says, if you continue, you'll know the truth. Truth you know cannot be stolen. So this, it shows you can be a disciple. You can be continuing in the Word, but that Word hasn't become truth to you yet. Jesus says this, prays for his disciples in John the 17th chapter, which is the real Lord's Prayer. That's where we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The other thing that we get from Matthew 6, whatever, we're talking about where he said, Father, Jesus teaches to pray, our Father which art in heaven. He was giving them headlines on greetings for prayer. He really wasn't giving them a scripted prayer. But in John 17, we see him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And one of the verses he says in John 17, he says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Then he says, thy word is truth. So what's truth? The Word. Huh. Now, see, that got to become settled for you. Not what I feel. It's not what I feel that is truth. The Word is truth. It's not my opinion that is truth. The Word is truth. It's not my experience that's truth. The Word is truth. So my experience may be poverty, but the Word says he became poor that I through his poverty might be made rich. And so I speak the truth. I'm rich. Don't have a dime in the bank, but I'm rich. Don't have money in my pocket, but I'm rich. And if I keep speaking the truth despite my circumstance, pretty soon my circumstances got to line up with the truth. Oh my God, I'm preaching to somebody here. Don't you let your circumstances punk the truth. The scripture says, let God's word be true. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's truth, his word will abide forever. God's word is truth. I'm saved not because I feel saved. I'm saved not because I look saved. I'm saved not because you tell me I'm saved. I'm saved because I know the word says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. And the devil tried to tell you, you ain't saved. You still feel the same way. You still got the same desire. But devil, you're a liar. My feelings don't determine I'm saved. The word determines I'm saved. And I did what it said. I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart. I'm saved. So feelings come and circumstances come and the devil try to speak this and speak that. You speak the truth despite what the devil says. You shall know the truth. Oh my God. Truth that is known cannot be stolen. You can't make me believe my name ain't Herbert Bailey. I seen the birth certificate. It is written. Oh, come on now. Well, it ain't supposed to be Herbert Bailey. I don't know what it was supposed to be. I know what it is. The name's supposed to be Herbert X. I don't care what it's supposed to be. I know what it is. My government name, full government name, is Herbert Bailey Jr. Well, I don't think you heard. I don't care what you think. I know what I know. Come on, somebody say, I know what I know. Glory to God. You got to know, as Bishop Bailey used to say, you got to know that you know that you know you know you know. You should know the truth. The truth should make you free. So whatever got you bound, continue in the truth. The bondage has got to come off. I'm prophesying to somebody right now. Continuing the bondage has got to come off. I know you got that addiction, but well, just continue in the word and keep saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. God has delivered me from all the bondages of sin. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Not my experience, the word. Who am I preaching to here this morning? Galatians, the first chapter. So you should know the truth. So standing in faith also means holding on to what you know. So Paul writes the book of Galatians to this church who he's dug out, who he's birthed, who he's organized, who he's founded based upon the gospel of grace, which is this, that Jesus died so you can be saved and born again. And all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And you save. That's the gospel of grace. That is not what you do. It's what he's done. And salvation is not based upon you earning it. See, we had all that wrong in the church I grew up in. I'm running, trying to make 199 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 199. So, and then we sing about trying to make it in. Heaven, well, we sing about heaven being my reward. Going up to heaven, get my reward. And y'all hear about heaven being your reward? That ain't in the scriptures. Heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift. You got to get that. Heaven is a gift. Heaven comes with salvation. If you get saved, heaven comes with it. This is so good. Man, somebody take a deep breath. Because y'all saved, still trying to make it into heaven. If you're saved, heaven comes with it. Here's a revelation God gave me. I was talking to our ministers and elders yesterday. You have a home in glory. When you get saved, you already got a home in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you can be also. Everybody say, I got a home. Now the issue is how quick you want to close in the house. Because smoking and drinking and being mean and nasty and ugly can help you close a little quicker. The home is yours. How quick you want to close on it. And most of the things that the scripture is telling us is not telling us to avoid this and not do this so we can earn heaven. He said, no, I want you to have a long life here on earth. I want things to go well with you. You already got a home. Paul says this. He said, if this earthly temple be dissolved, this tabernacle be dissolved. Meaning, if I'm no longer in, I'll have a home eternal in the heavens. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I ain't trying to be absent yet. I want to show up. Oh, come on now. And so he's given me his word. The scripture says that your days may be long upon the face of the earth. Well, you can't tell me I ain't going to heaven if I do this. And I'm not trying to tell you that. But how quick you want to close on the house? Are y'all getting this? Now, I got to teach y'all some things today here. So, Paul's told them, you're saved through grace. Then these Judaizers come along, who are still under the old covenant based upon the law, telling them you got to cross all these T's and dot all these I's if you're going to be saved. Judaizers trying to make them think they got to be circumcised in order for God to be pleased with you, in order to be acceptable in the kingdom of God. And so Paul writes, here in Galatians, the first chapter, let's pick up here, verse 6. Paul said, I marvel. We don't talk like that today. We say, I'm shocked. Paul said, I'm shocked that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, how are you so easily persuaded because somebody knock on your door? And now you ain't come to church anymore. and you didn't change your name and talking about you from a lost tribe. I'm shocked that you're so, that you're removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ onto another gospel. And look, verse 7. He said, which is really not another gospel. From a good gospel means the good news. From a good news about God's grace, and you move to another gospel. He said, which is really not another gospel. Because, but there are some that trouble you. There's some troublemakers just trying to mess up what God's given you. Trying to remove you from your position of faith. Trying to make you go back on what you know. He said, and they would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, he said, let me tell you something. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, let God curse anybody that preaches anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen again, and salvation by faith in his name. Can I tell you, every other religion is trying to get you to do something to make it into the kingdom of God. You got to pray so many times. You got to give so much money. I told y'all we went in Japan last week, and it gave me total. I said this second service, so I didn't say this service. Gave me more revelation when Elijah is before the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and he wets the sacrifice. He puts some more water on it. He said, let the God to answer by fire, and let him be God. And they start calling on Baal to try to send the fire, and no fire came. And then Elijah says, call louder, maybe he's asleep. He's making fun of him. But there are some religions who believe that. So when we're visiting these ancient Shinto temples in Japan, you're supposed to throw in some money and then you clap. You clap, but you're supposed to wake up the gods. I said, oh, now I understand. Well, maybe they sleep. So you got to clap. You got to give money. We don't do any of those things to get salvation. We do those things because he's given us salvation. Everything we do is an act of appreciation to God for what he's done, not trying to earn him doing anything for us. That's the grace of God. That Jesus did it all. Everybody say Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. Hallelujah. You got to understand, Jesus completed the work for you at Calvary. He said, it is finished. Glory to God. So Paul said, I'm shocked. Going over to Galatians 5th chapter. Galatians 5, verse 1. So Paul says, these folks are messing you up. Pastor Marcia, from the time she got saved, now everybody didn't do this. She became a God chaser. She was in the Word. Now you got to say, I've been in church all my life. And, you know, I would like some of y'all, you know, we're supposed to read the Bible, but we don't really read the Bible. Mm-hmm, right in this section. That one too, and that one too. It's all right. I ain't just picking on y'all. You know, we're supposed to read the Bible. I ain't going to ask you to read, but how many of y'all really regularly read the Bible? You know you're supposed to. That's part of a Christian discipline. Amen. It's not to be saved, not to earn your salvation, but to know more about your salvation. Get more understanding of what God's done for you. I want y'all to really get that. Because you're saved by what Jesus did, not by what you do, including reading the scripture, giving tithes, or offering anything else. And so she started reading the Bible immediately. She was reading stuff, and she would call me up. We was dating. She would call me. I was reading over here in Matthew. It said such and such. What that mean? I said, say that. I said, and so she would call me. I'd get my concordance out. I'm trying to help her help me. And trying to help me help her. And really, I remember telling Mother Betty said, you are a minister of the gospel. This girl just got saved. I said, no, on birth, she really a God. She loved the Lord. She said, she loved you. I said, no, she really a God chaser. She chasing you. And she was in the Lord. Okay? And so, she was so excited about the Word. We lived in Maine, and so she would be home, And we had been married, what, a year or two? And so, and she'd been saved. She got saved in 83. We moved to Maine in 85. So she'd been saved like 3-4 years. Okay? And I come home. I said, what you do today? Oh, I'm sitting down with these, what they call, Jehovah Witnesses. I said, no! Don't let them in the house! She said, oh, no, we had a good time. She said, I don't think they're coming back. She would sit there, and they would go through scripture, and she said, but the word said this. And then I was home one day, and I watched them come by, and they went by, and they were telling the other. They walked right on by our house. Why y'all scared?
How do you stand when things around you seem to be spiraling out of control? We can stand firm on God's word, knowing that He'll work things out for our good. Bishop Herbert Bailey gives you the courage to stand in this powerful message. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for faith to stand. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.